creating cultural awareness and understanding. This is Culture Click. Culture Click is written and produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University.
Today on Culture Click, we go to the Winona Public Library to sit down with Robert and Jennifer Schubert of Schubert Droid Works. Robert and Jennifer build their own functional life-size Star Wars droids and take them to conventions, charities, and special events. I'm Bill Stoneberg, and this is Culture Click. I'm here with Jennifer and Robert Schubert of Schubert Droid Works, and we've got an R2-D2 here at the library today. How are you guys doing?
Doing good, thank
you. Doing really good, thanks.
How did you guys get started building the droids?
So Robert went to Star Wars Celebration in 2010 in Orlando, and he walked into a room that was filled with droids, and he thought they were all fan props. Little did he know, they were actually built by other members, and he came home and said, I want to build an R2.
Cool. So you just saw a bunch of droids, and they were actually fan-built then, huh?
Yes, it was all fans. It wasn't anybody from movies or anything like that. It was all just originally based on taking measurements, looking at the TV screen, watching the films, and then eventually the Builders Club would actually get to measure some of the real droids. Then base the parts from those measurements.
Okay, so then that's how they got the plans, was actually getting to see the real droids from the movie?
That's correct. Over time, the Builders Clubs had access to the actual droids in the Lucasfilm archives.
Oh, cool.
And get to, hold a ruler up close and say, all right, how big is that piece? Okay, how big is that piece?
Okay, so you don't necessarily need to be an engineer to build one of these, huh?
That's correct. I thought, at first I thought the room that I was in was all props. It wasn't props. Then I thought it was a room full of engineers. And the guy standing next to me goes, no, I'm an accountant. And I was like, all right, I can do this. Then I'm not an engineer, but I'm all right.
Yeah. Cool. So you go to a lot of conventions with R2 then?
Yeah, we've been to several conventions. And it's been all kinds of scale of conventions. We've been to the big national ones like Celebration. He was down there this spring. And then we've done, regional conventions. We've done local library conventions. Winona Library had one this spring. We were up early this summer, and we were here. He's also been to a couple down in Iowa.
Okay. Cool. So you guys really make the rounds then?
We do typically around 80 events, about 40 events a year. And so we've done over 80 events in 2 years since we built him.
Oh, cool. What is the response usually like when you do events at the library here? Is there certain droids people ask about, or is it mainly R2, or...?
It's kind of funny. I've been to gatherings where there's a number of different droids. Everybody gets called R2-D2.
Oh, really?
So it's kind of not, you'll see somebody who will come in as R5-D4, or they'll have, one of the other lesser-known droids. Everybody calls them R2. So it's kind of fun to... The one that always just makes me kind of shake my head is whenever they look at him and they go BB-8. Oh, I'm like, no, he's not BB-8, guys.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Occasionally we do get called BB-8, but the main response from people is like, oh my gosh, there's an R2, and people just flip out and have the biggest smile on their faces when we walk into a room. So.
Cool. Why do you think R2 is so popular?
I think in a lot of ways he's on, because he's a smaller character in stature, he's shorter, so it's a more approachable size.
Okay.
So as opposed to Darth Vader being 7 feet tall, Chewbacca is cool, but he can be kind of intimidating when you see him in person.
I suppose the kids really like the R2 for that reason, huh?
Yeah.
I think they can get up, they can get personal and touch him and see him move, and he lights up, he has a personality. He comes out of him, and so I think they interact with that as well.
Okay, nice. Personally, who is your favorite droid? Is it R2 or...?
It's R2, yeah.
It's R2. by far,
okay.
Yeah.
I suppose that's why you decided to build an R2 first, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. And then on another personal note, do you have a favorite Star Wars movie?
Oh, yes. we don't agree. I love Return of the Jedi.
Okay.
That is my favorite movie.
It's a good choice.
Yeah.
And you, Robert?
I am Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, okay. That's another good choice. I really like those, the three, the Star Wars and Empire and Jedi.
By far, I like the original trilogy first, and then I go with Force Awakens or Rogue One after that. So.
Oh, okay. Okay. I haven't seen those two yet, but, you know, we'll get there. And so your droid is remote control. What would it take to make them autonomous?
Well, autonomous will involve... I've done some reading on some guys that have done either full autonomous in limited circumstance, you know, in controlled environment, or they do partial autonomy. The most common thing that we see in droid building is they will make the dome autonomous so that it will rotate on its own, sometimes in response to sounds or maybe just on a programmed algorithm. So if we're driving the droid down the hallway and people are looking around from all sides, you know, the natural thing, a person is not going to keep their head forward all the time. So R2 wouldn't either. He would kind of turn over to one side and then turn to another. So there are some droid builders that have that autonomous functionality. There are a couple of guys that have tried to take it the next step further and let R2 wander around a room by himself. And that involves putting in different sensors and some different programming and processing inside him. So it would probably take me personally taking a pretty intense computer programming course for me to get into that as far as making fully autonomous.
It'd take a lot more electronics and servo kind of controllers and trying to find a place to put the sensors so that it can actually sense the environment and provide that feedback to know where it's going.
Okay, okay, cool. And then there's different materials they're made out of. What is your R2 made out of?
So this R2 is made out of a combination of styrene plastic. He has a wood skeleton and his legs are wood. He has aluminum foot shells and a couple other pieces are aluminum. And then a lot of the detail pieces are either cast resin pulled out of a mold or they're 3D printed plastic.
So where do you get all those parts from then?
Well, some of the parts we make ourselves. Most of the 3D printed parts on R2 we printed ourselves. We bought a 3D printer to learn about using that. Some of the parts, the molds belong to other friends of ours, but on a lot of the resin ones, we actually went to our friend's shop. He let us use the mold, and we would do the pouring ourselves.
Okay. Cool.
Some of the other things, like the dome, there are suppliers that do the vacuforming, and so through the Builders Club, there are authorized suppliers of parts. So that's where some of the harder to get parts come from.
Okay, so it's kind of a community effort, huh?
Definitely.
Very much so.
Okay. How is your R2 powered? How does he move around?
So our R2, the body is powered off of two 12-volt SLA batteries, similar to what you'd see on like a motorcycle or an ATV.
Okay,
cool.
Those
are connected to motors that run a motor in each foot. On the two outer feet have a motor, and that's what powers those.
Okay, and then is that how he's steered between those two motors?
Yeah.
Correct. The motor controller kind of does a computation to figure out, okay, whenever I'm pushing the stick this way, what percentage needs to go, you know, and it works it out. So whenever I do a turn, it's a combination of both motors doing the function, but the speed controller works out all that math for me. I don't have to figure out.
Right. Okay, so you just use one joystick and it controls him.
Yeah, and then the motors are connected to a board in the inside that have the programming that tells it which way to go.
Okay, that's really neat. I like that. Are there some droids that have features that the movie droids don't, like extra added features we haven't seen?
Yes, actually. There was a droid that I saw at my first celebration that had a bubble gun. So it would blow bubbles.
Oh, cool.
You know, so like instead of you buy the wand, right? Or you know, well, he had one put in his droid.
Oh, cool. That'd be fun for parties.
Yeah. There's somebody who has a disco ball in one of theirs. It has disco lights. One of the other builders has like if you've seen Kit, the car Kit,
Knight Rider.
Knight Rider. He has that kind of feature in his LDP. So
right in here, he put a series of lights, and then it'll do Kit back and forth.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
Other builders have done different one-off droids, so like a Batman droid. So it has all the Batman sounds, so it says, I'm Batman.
Oh, cool.
And it has the bat theme song on it. And so, yeah. And nice. He's got some, like, features. Like, it'll pop out, like, the little, I don't know what it's called, but.
Little Batman accessories. Like,
accessories. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I noticed that on the slide, the Batman one. Are there other themed droids that are kind of cool?
I'm trying to think.
There's a Minions.
Oh, really?
We have Minions.
They've done, like, 2/3 scale, and then they've painted up as a Minion.
Oh, nice. That's funny.
You see a lot of just one-off paint schemes that maybe aren't anything specific, but it's not from the movie. Okay. You know, they'll do a whole color that's kind of on their own. Yeah, school colors.
School colors, something that's personal to them, their favorite color scheme kind of thing. So.
Okay, cool. So people actually customize them to their own liking then, huh?
Yeah, there's a guy in Michigan that did a really nice, he calls it R2 Deco, and it looks like a 58 Chevy or something.
Oh,
with
wow.
Like swooped, you know, foot shells and chromed out.
And, okay. And there's also a builders that do steampunk droids too.
Oh, nice.
So they actually are built out of wood, and it makes like the steam engine sound and has like the coal burning fireplace and all of that. It's really
cool.
Cool to see.
Then does it have steam coming out of it?
It does. Yep. And the feet actually, when they move like a train would. So.
Oh, neat. Neat. how much does it cost to get into this to build an R2?
You know, cost is something that we probably should have tracked a little better. You can spend almost as much as you want to on it. I've heard of guys who say that they've built their droid for as little as $500 or $600, and then I've seen people that have spent, you know, as much as a small car on it.
Wow.
We did not spend as much as a small car, I'll say that.
Yeah. Definitely. It's a very varying, it depends on what materials and products you're using. So okay. If you're using styrene, an all styrene droid is going to be way cheaper than an all aluminum droid. And how much you do, how many extra features, if all the arms and all the bells and whistles are coming out, it's going to be a much more expensive droid.
Right. Okay. How long does it usually take to put together something like your R2 here?
On average, probably 2 years.
Okay. 2 years. Wow.
We got it done faster than 2 years, but we were also kind of rushing, and we had a self-imposed deadline of wanting to be done by Force Awakens premiere. And
okay.
I don't recommend deadlines, you know, to anybody, because that can cause extra headaches that you don't need. But
right. I suppose it's pretty labor-intensive, it looks like.
It can be, yeah.
I mean, we've got thousands of hours, probably at least 1,000 hours in building this one.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Cool. If someone is interested in getting into building droids, where should they start?
Probably one of the first places. If you want to find out, if you don't know what droid specifically you're looking at, there's a website called droidbuilders.info.
Okay.
And that has links to several different droid builder groups. There's a specific online forum for building astromech droids like R2 or R5-D4, those kind of droids. That's called astromech.net. And that's where I spend way too much time online.
Okay. Cool.
Otherwise, there's the BB-8 group has a BB-8 forum. There's also Rebel Droids.
Okay, so it can get pretty specific then for the forums.
But there's links from all of those type of droids, mouse droids, all off of the Droid Builder info site.
Okay, cool. If someone's looking to book you guys for an event, how can they go about doing that?
We have Facebook and Twitter pages for Schubert Droid Works. You can find Schubert Droid Works, looking that up on Facebook, or at Schubert Droids on Twitter. And if you're interested in having us come to a charity event or a library event or a school event, that would be how you get in touch with us.
Okay,
cool.
You can
also contact us by email at SchubertDroidWorks@yahoo.com.
Okay, nice. And then one more question. Where do you get the sounds from that he says?
The sounds from R2 were actually given to the R2 Builders Club by Lucasfilm. The early sound files that we used were members would sit down with the movie and a tape recorder and sit there and try to clip out the sounds. And that had a very mixed effect because, you know, you'd get explosions or extra music or things like that. But several years ago, even before I was involved in the Builders Club, someone from Lucasfilm said, you know, you guys need some, here you go. And here's a CD of, you know, archive quality, no background noise.
Right.
So the sounds that you hear from our R2 actually come from Star Wars.
Cool. All right. Well, I've been here with Jennifer and Robert Schubert, and they're from Schubert Droid Works. And it's very good to talk to you guys today. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Oh, are you sad we're done?
Do you have anything to say then, R2? Okay, thanks, R2.
Thanks again to Robert and Jennifer Schubert of Schubert Droid Works for joining us today. More information on Schubert Droid Works can be found at facebook.com/SchubertDroidWorks. I'm Bill Stoneberg, and you've been listening to Culture Click.
Creating cultural awareness and understanding. You've been listening to Culture Click. Support for Culture Click is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Culture Click is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information, look us up on the web at kqal.org. And thanks for listening to Culture Click.